Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I was just thinking the other day about, you know, God, the vastness and the awesomeness, Pat, about God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. The Bible says that heaven is God's throne, and the earth is his footstool. I mean, think about this. We're talking about the awesomeness and the vastness and the greatness of God. You know what I'm saying? Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. When I think about how he placed each star in its place, mm-hmm. and he told the waters, only go so far, only go so far. When I think about the multidimensional, the manifold parts of God, you know, he's omnipotent, all-powerful, he is omniscient, all-knowing, mm-hmm. he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. I mean, God, he sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Amazing.
This is God. So, I think about how he's completely self-sufficient. And then I come across Genesis chapter 6. You know what I'm saying? And this just kind of just hits me right between the eye, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm like, we're like six chapters into the Bible here. Genesis chapter 6. And I read Genesis 6:6. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Mm-hmm. How narcissistic have we become that we don't even pause to think about that God could actually experience pain?
Wow.
The grieving heart of God. Think about that. The grieving heart of God. God who created the man, God created the earth. He's the manager of the universe. He was grieved. He was grieved, and his heart was filled with so much pain. You know, God can feel pain.
Right.
His emotions are, I mean, he has, God has real emotions. He experiences them even deeper than we do. If we think we experience love, if we experience pain, if we experience joy or happiness, how much more does God experience all those emotions? And think about it. What could possibly cause God to be grieved and have his own heart filled with pain?
All right.
I mean, in verse 5, listen to this. It says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness was on earth had become, and that every inclination, it's like it's every like bent, every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil every time.
Right.
And you think about it, man, this is like we're in the first six chapters of Genesis. You know, mankind was doing so good. I mean, chapter 4, you got Cain going crazy on Abel. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, guys, you know what I'm saying? This is not good. You know, God, loving God has a plan for us here, and we're like messing this thing up.
Yeah,
I mean, we back up a little bit further than that, and we find out that Adam and Eve, right from the giddy up, just go ahead and blew it. And it's like, okay, this is, you know, we're like in trouble here, you know, and the fact that God is putting us in such a place in terms of relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
that he's actually allowed, you know, has made it that what we do and don't do can either cause and bring God joy, happiness, and we can actually cause God to feel loved.
Right.
Little old me, little old you, little old...
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, that we could cause this great emotions to fill the Lord's heart, but at the same time, we could actually cause God's heart to grieve.
Great pain.
And exactly that, feel great pain. I mean, you think about it in Genesis 6, it says that these people, their hearts, they're not even fear God. Mm-hmm. No, what happened to the fear of the Lord? What happened to the fear of God? There's no reverential awe of his holiness, of his greatness. When you think about all the characteristics, the character traits of God, think about this. All the living creatures, they don't say, he's just. They don't scream, he's love. They don't scream, he's mercy. No, they say he's holy. Mm-hmm. Have we forgotten the holiness of God? Have we forgotten that the third person in the Trinity is called the Holy Spirit?
Right.
You know, not the good spirit, not the awesome spirit.
Right.
The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And they didn't fear God. They didn't know of his holiness. They didn't understand. They didn't get it. And it's like, man, 24/7, their mind, their thoughts were totally set on evil. When you think about today, right now, where can you go on this planet, on this earth? You name a country where you can go where there's not evil being done across this world.
Right.
I mean, right here in America, we see what's happening. We just talked about earlier in the first program about the abortions that have taken place, over 50 million abortions that have taken place since Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. We talk about how there was violence in the cities, where Detroit is the murder capital, has a higher murder rate than Colombia. We're talking about Cali, the Medellin.
Right.
It's like, come on now, catch a clue.
Yeah.
And you think about, you know, everything that's happened is like, wait a minute, guys. This evil is out there everywhere. And we got to think about, does this evil hurt God? Of course it hurts God. And today, evil hurts God just as much as it hurt him back then. And I believe even more so, because think about this. Think of all the truth that has been released on the face of this earth. And yet, men's hearts have turned towards evil. And sin is evil.
Yeah.
It hurts people. It enslaves them. It puts them in bondage. You know, and God loves mankind. I mean, he created us for relationship with him. When you think about that concept, you know, those that could truly hurt you are those that are probably the most closest to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
God created us for relationship.
That's right.
And what sin does, it breaks that relationship and it causes hearts to be grieved. You know, God's just. He's created rules. He's created boundaries. He's going to stick to them. And think about it. He's given us every single thing that we need to turn from evil ways. Mm-hmm. Think about it. He's given us mercy. The Bible says that the mercies of God are new every single morning.
That's right.
I mean, America in particular, the church has been given so much mercy. It's like, oh my goodness. I mean, how much longer is this going to exist?
All right.
You and I were talking about this the other day, but it's like, you know, God gives us mercy, but he wants us to appropriate and to use that mercy. Mm-hmm. What's the sake of having mercy if you're not going to use it?
Right.
You know what I mean? If we're just going to take the mercy card and just chuck it right back at God and say, okay, thanks for not punishing me, not giving me a whack. I'm going to get and keep doing what I've been doing.
And his patience. His patience that leads us to repentance.
Absolutely. So he's given us mercy. He's given us grace. Mm-hmm. He's given us patience. Right? Mercy is not getting what we deserve.
Right.
Grace is getting what we don't deserve. He's just hooking us up. Right?
Right.
The grace card, right? The favor card. He's given us forgiveness, the opportunity that we can ask for forgiveness and receive forgiveness. He's given us the gift of repentance, that we could actually turn from our sin and make it right. And he's given us his beautiful son. I mean, this beautiful son who's the ultimate payment for our sin. Let me tell you something. We have two choices in life. We have two things that we can do. We can do with our actions and our life things that bring the joy to God, the love of God that can just totally feel, you know, cause God to feel just amazing and bring a smile to his face. Or we could do things that bring utter grief to him. I mean, Ephesians 4:30 tells us, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Word of God tells us, do not put out the Spirit's fire.
Right.
And let me tell you, we're living in a day and age where people are not even giving thought. The church is not even giving thought to the ways of God, the holiness of God. We got to turn back to a fear of the Lord. Let me tell you something. God's heart can be grieved, but woe to the man and woe to the woman who habitually lives to grieve the heart of God. Let me tell you something. God loves you. He's not done with you. He's got an amazing plan for your life, and the reason why he's hurt is because he desires to have relationship with you, to walk with you, to talk with you, to guide you, to direct you, to bless you, and to do something with your life that serves generations. Let me tell you something. You can enjoy that relationship today. Maybe you're listening, you thought, man, I've so grieved God. Guess what? Confess that. There's two parts. You got to confess and say, God, you know, I was wrong. Tell me exactly what were you wrong for.
That's right.
But don't just stop there. A lot of people stop there. God, I was wrong for lying. I feel so bad.
Right.
God don't want you just to say that you were wrong and you feel bad. He wants you to repent. Stop doing it. Turn away from it and turn your heart back to him.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's not another Lego set or doll. No, what your child wants most from you this holiday season is your time and attention. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and financial expert Mary Hunt reminds us, it's not about the stuff.
I promise you, when your children reach their adult years, when they remember Christmas, they will not remember the gifts. They will not. They're going to remember whether mom was stressed out or that she was fun to be around. They're going to remember the time that you went and took the sled up the hill and sled together. If you're looking to make Christmas something your kids will remember, think past the gifts. Gifts are involved, but they are such a small, small part of it.
This season, be intentional about your time and money. Make some great memories with your children that they'll treasure forever. You'll find more ideas for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
You know, when you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, I mean, life gets hectic, you know. John, I mean, you think about it, you know, you got your work, you got your family, you got, you know, friends, you got, you know, just everything's pulling at you. You know, your nation's pulling at you, you know, you're just, it doesn't matter where, it just seems like everything just kind of pulls at you. And there needs to be some sort of epicenter of peace, you know, someplace that is a place that you can abide. You know, just I can get to my secret place. You know what I'm saying? And really, because, you know, being a believer, if you're listening right now and you're a believer, that wherever you are, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of relocation. It's a matter of revelation, and that you can realize that right where you are, you can, God wants to meet with you and meet with him. Yeah, you need to probably get, you know, most people really want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan. You know, everything's coming so quick. There's so much information hitting you. You can't find rest anywhere. But let me tell you something. You're going to need to find this rest, and you're going to need to abide under the Lord's wings of a secret place, because, you know, it's just going to increase. It's not going to decrease all the stress that's coming, because it's actually a strategy of the adversary to mess you up. But let me tell you something. God had this day in mind. You just need a simple plan. And you can go, as a matter of fact, John, you can go to iabide.org. We have that simple plan waiting for you right now. iabide.org. You know, you have iPhones and iPods. But go to iabide.org and read a little bit about abiding. If you want to request a simple plan, just request it there, and it'll come right immediately to you. A video and some information to be able to help you. You could start right away. and your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been trying to conquer some things in your life and some personal struggles. Let me tell you, that's why Jesus died. He died to be able to empower you to do that. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to be empowered by God. And that happens, like he told us in John 15. It happens when you abide with him. So go to iabide.org and find out that the Lord will empower you to walk this walk that he asked of you at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Pat, yeah. What's God been saying to you, man?
Well,
that's deep.
Yeah, it is, wasn't it? Man, that was good. Well, I was reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
That's really good.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yes.
It's a good book. You got to read it.
Yes.
And it was saying, it says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds.
Did you hear that? Did you hear what you just said?
Satan has blinded the minds of the people.
He's the god of this world.
Yeah.
Oh my, to be friendship with the world, then that means to be friendship with the god of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Satan.
Which is the enemy of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
That's just profound. No, you're right. Exactly. And he blinds those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
In verse 6 it says, for God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, he has made this light shine in our hearts, so we, I can't read my writing now.
The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord.
I think.
This is good, man. Come on.
Oh, wow. Anyway,
this is good.
Anyway, so, you know, light, that light he puts inside of us is for us, is to shine. And then verse 7 says, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure.
That's the cracks you were talking about.
That's what I was talking about this morning. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves.
Right.
Well, what got my attention is this, when he's talking about, you know, the fragile clay jars that we're in. And
fragile, pathetic.
You know, a lot of us, of course, me, I don't know about you guys.
We understand.
We spend a lot of time trying to cover up these cracks and holes in our jars.
Spackle.
Because we don't like it. You know, we're like, ugh. You know, we're so self-conscious of ourselves and our weaknesses and our flaws that we're constantly trying to cover it up. And what God says, if you, like Paul says all the time, he says, you know, I'll boast in my weaknesses so that God's glory would be manifest. You know, it's that light inside of us that's trying to get out, but we're too busy trying to cover it all up. God, I mean, people can't see the light in us.
It's the crack that lets the light out.
It's the cracks that let the light out.
Mm.
So God gets the glory for our weakness.
It's good.
You know what I'm saying? It's
our natural nature is we're so worried about, you know, our weakness getting in the way of the message. And it's like, no, it's actually our weakness that is the message.
That's exactly the message. And it's like, we're so polar opposites. It's just.
Somebody says, look at the size I'm in. Oh, you're really pathetic. God's really using you.
Exactly.
Right. God's really using
exactly. Exactly. It's like, okay, Lord. All right. You know, you're like peeling That's off good. The band-aids. Get rid of that. Get rid of this.
So we can start talking about your stuff now.
Please.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. You've been holding back? Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm in trouble now.
Well, this one thing.
Let me tell you, you don't want to miss the extra hour.
It's all going to be let loose now.
Now we get it. It's like, cut. It looks like we're coming to an end today.
Hey.
That's really a good word. It's so important because it's the fact that God puts us all surpassing power in jars of clay to prove that it's him and not us.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that you can be used by God the moment you realize that God uses weak things, things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Success. I mean, you think about it. how many people are striving to be successful and prosperous, you know, ever how they define success and prosperity. And if you asked who wants to be successful, most people will raise their hands. You ask them how they define it, you will be really surprised how they define success. When we get back from this break, we're going to be able to talk about what God says about success. So many people are wanting to be successful and prosperous. And he tells us in his word, actually, think about this. If you pull your car over, don't do this while you're riding down the road, you know, or grab your pencil and paper and write this down, or a pen, or text it to yourself. I don't know how we do this today. And write down the secret to, I'm about to tell you the secret to success and prosperity. I want to give you a couple of moments here. I just want to give you a second. Just pause, because you've been trying to get the right education. So many people are graduating from college right now, 4 years of college, only to find out that the end of it was not prosperity and success.
Right.
And they're taking more classes to be able to thinking that'll make them successful.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many people starting businesses and different things, trying to be successful and just doing all kinds of things, trying to be prosperous. But listen, the creator of the universe told us the secret to be successful and prosperous. Understand this, since he created the world and he created us, he knows better how to define success and prosperity. Quite often how we define prosperity and success is when our flesh is happy. We have enough whatever to give our flesh everything it wants, whenever it wants it, ever how it wants it. Success is recognition, you know, that everybody sees your trophy or something and sees your ring, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, literally.
Literally. And so, what is the secret? Here it is. I want to tell you. I wanted you to be ready. I wanted you to write this down. This is so important. This is the secret to success. The secret to success. Tomorrow, pick up on tomorrow's program. Tell you. No, okay, here it is. Here it is.
Come on.
Here it is. Okay, here it is. Get your pen ready. I see you now, Eddie. Lean in forward and write that thing. This is it. This is the key, man. Listen. The secret is found in the Bible, in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And I'm going to read it to you. Here it is. You ready? This is it. That's how long the secret to success has been around. This is God speaking to Joshua, and he's already told him, he said, listen, Moses is dead. It's time for you to go in. Then he tells him this. He says, listen, in verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous. This is, I'm telling you the secret to success here. This is the secret to success. Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and not a wimp. I'm sorry, that was G-I-V. Be strong and very courageous. Not be a whiner. Not be a complainer. God sent them away, you remember?
He sent
the whiners and complainers and he sent them away. Because he's looking for agreement, because he's going to do it. We're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. So he's looking for people who agree with him. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful. Be careful to obey all the law, which for us would be the word of God. My servant Moses gave you, for us would be Jesus gave us the word. He says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left. How many people today have turned a little bit to the right of what God says and a little bit to the left of what God says? I mean, some people are far right and some people are far left, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God's right down the center. And we stay right on what he says. And he says that you may be successful wherever you go. So many people are trying to go to the one place. If I could just find that one place, I'll be successful. You don't understand it. It's what you're doing in your life. No matter where you're at, you're going to be successful. That's what he's saying. And I'll talk about it a little bit more, but I'm just going to read it so you understand. He says, do not let the book, which is the word of God, depart from your mouth. Do not let it depart from your mouth. What's coming out your mouth? What's coming out your mouth?
Right.
Please. Zip it. right? As Michael said, I'm hearing this, but I want to hear this.
Right, right.
I'm hearing this. I want to hear this. Well, I just want to, I don't want to, it's not God. Why? Why? Anyway, do not let this book depart or the word of God depart from your mouth. Meditate on it both day and night, not just on Sunday between 10 and 10:15. Mm-hmm. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. You see, you don't let it depart from your mouth. And by meditating on what God says, then you're constantly thinking about it, and therefore you're going to be, it's going to be easier for you to obey, because success comes through obedience. He says, then you will be prosperous and successful. You'll be prosperous and successful. And you think about it. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. What does that mean? You don't even have to change your location. Just change your attitude. You want to be successful. When you think about it, he says, we've got to be strong. What's he talking about? He's talking about being strong in our faith. Mm-hmm. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Surety and certainty. You know, this wishy-washiness and whatever, you know, he's just like, come on, what are you confident in? I'm confident that I'll be unconfident the rest of my life.
Right.
Right? Yeah. You can count on me to sow doubt anywhere you need it. You know, those folks, you know, I just want to run this by you so you could kill it. You know, can I tell you about this? Like, okay, stab it now. Just kill it. Just go ahead and kill it, right? Mm-hmm. Strong in our confidence and our surety. I mean, think about it. Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You have on your mind the things of man, not the things of God. The very words that came out of the mouth of Peter, he said, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. Listen, you just can't be casting your pearls before swines, and you'll be surprised. You'll be so surprised who's the oinker and who's not the oinker. I mean, it'll blow you away. Who's the pig? Who's the swine? It's like, are you stomping my pearls in the ground here? I thought you were my friend. I thought you were my spouse. I thought you were my child. I thought you were my dad. I thought you were my friend. I thought you were a believer. You know, right. I thought you read the word. You know, that kind of thing, right?
Right.
I think my pearls just got crushed. And he says, be courageous, be strong and courageous. So we're strong in our faith. That's not like being like Pat and benching all this weight and losing all this weight. And he scratches like this now. If you didn't see that, it's like he just, anyway. So here we go. Well, he's actually, you know, showing his bicep when he's scratching. Kissing anybody's imagination. Anyway,
we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Contact ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Mm-hmm, delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging. Is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com. And you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link, and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFN TV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. And we want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister, I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, hey, let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing, and that's saying, well, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. Listen, so we have to be strong and courageous in our actions. You have people that'll talk all day long, but they will not take any action whatsoever. And it's like, man, all you are is a rhetorical comment. You're not, that's not faith. You got faith in what you're, now you don't have faith at all. That's not faith. And you think about it, we're told plainly in James, he talks about it in James chapter 2, verse 1. He says, no, listen, he said, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no action, no deeds, can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. You know, and there's been a lot of pep rally, faith talks. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it's like, but ain't nobody going nowhere for nothing. I mean, what are we doing here? Aren't we supposed to go out in all the world and preach the gospel? Right. Aren't we supposed to be like William Booth commanded, go out there and preach the gospel, go take the land, you know? It's like, no, we just like having pep rallies. And he goes on to say, he says, but someone who says, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good, he says. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. So they actually have one up on that person, right? Because they actually shudder.
Right.
He said, you foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? And that's what, that, without being courageous, courage comes in when you actually do it. Okay, you've talked about it, but now you got to do it. And that's courage. Mm-hmm. Now, people, oh, that just sounds good. You go for it. I'll send you some money. I'll sponsor you on a monthly basis. You just go. Right. You know, I'm just so excited for you, you know,
right?
They love that. He says, listen, was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. You have to be strong in your faith, but you have to be courageous in your actions. They go together. Faith without action is dead. Listen, I'm telling you how to be successful. It's not successful because all you do is talk. You just talk, yada, 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 yada. But all of a sudden, you need to begin to act. You got to do something. And if you don't believe, don't do it. But if you believe what you're saying, then why aren't you doing it? So faith and action go together is what he's saying right here. And his faith, this is Abraham's faith, was made complete by what he did. You want to have complete faith? You have to be strong and courageous. Joshua went into the land. He didn't stay in the desert. He was the one that looked at Moses and said, listen, we can, and everybody but him and Caleb, everybody in the million people were going, we're going to die. It'll never work. And it'll cost us money. And it'll hurt. And giants and all these different things, despite what God said. And Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this thing. With God, God's with us. We can do it.
Right.
We can do it. So guess what? Moses, Joshua, and Caleb lived beyond all them folks. We had to wait. They had to wait for these people's seed to come to a reality so they would be gone, but their seed would go in. Mm-hmm. The hope for the promised land was inside of them.
That's right.
You think about it. And so God heard that and rewarded Joshua and Caleb, and they went into the land, the promised land. But he had both. He was strong in his faith. He said, listen, God is with us. We can do this thing. Which got Moses off his face, right? Because Moses is like, great. I didn't want to be here in the first place. And I was fine on the backside of the desert. No, I don't know what he said.
Right.
But I can imagine. I mean, he talked to God face to face, you know.
Yeah.
He goes, you know, these people. And God would go, I know. I don't know what I'll start over again. I don't know. They're just, this is kind of a, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he sounded like that. But understand that it's strong in your faith and courageous in your actions. Do something with what you believe. You know, if you say you believe that if you give God his whole tithes and offerings that he'll pour you out a blessing, hey, give him his tithes and his offerings. Be faithful to him. And then he says, listen, we need to meditate on his word. Meditate day and night, never letting it depart from our mouth. Meditating on his word. That's abiding, as we talk about all the time. That's abiding with God.
Right.
You can go to iabide.org and you can find out how to meditate on God's word. Have a conversation with God. Mm. Stay in God's word, hiding God's word in your heart. Speaking to God about your condition and needs and making your requests known to him and listening to what he says to you or what he impresses on you and do it. That's meditating day and night. You're just constantly in. Somebody said, how could you pray 24 hours a day? Because it's not a religious prayer. It's a conversation. It's a conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a relationship. This is the secret to success. Be strong and courageous. Strong in your faith, courageous in your actions. Meditate, abide with God, abide with him. And then he says, don't be terrified. The antithesis of terrified is joyful and happiness. Think about it. You do all this with just I'm just so happy. Like, your face gets happy. Oh, there it goes. You're just happy. Happy, 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 happy. Think about it. I mean, how many long faces? Some people's faces are so long. Some Christians' faces are so long that they can eat oats from a tailpipe of a car. It's just like, Jim, you put a mirror in front of their face. It's like, it smiles. You pull it back. It's like, that's so not fair. You only smile at yourself. That is so not fair. Is it not fair? It's not fair, is it?
No.
Sign to me. It's not fair, is it? No, yeah, I got you signing. And so we're supposed to, you think about when you're seeing all these troubles and you're seeing giants and you're seeing rebellious people, you know, all the things that Joshua and Caleb were seeing, it's like, is it okay for me to be happy? Is it illegal? Is it sinful for me to go, did I ever tell you about the, you know, I'm going to have a good time?
Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite of being terrified. So when the enemy comes in and threatens you, it's time to just celebrate. You're like, hey, you know, let's have a good time here. I can't remember the evangelist, and if somebody could tell me, I would know. But the one who was laying in bed, and all of a sudden, the devil literally appeared at his bedside, at the foot of his bed. He wakes up. I think it was Tozer, or they'll tell me in a minute. But he got up, and he saw this demon standing at his bedside.
Oh, wow.
And he goes, ah, it's only you, Satan. And he goes back to bed. That's it. That's so powerful. That is so powerful. People say, you know, I remember Brother John Kilpatrick right in the middle of revival, the Brownsville revival. And it's hard to explain, powerful move of God. God's moving continually, laying hands on people nonstop and praying for them, and God's touching them. And we were together as he was praying for some folks. And of course, people are coming, bringing you bad news all the time. And they just told him that one of his grandsons had swallowed poison.
Mm.
Did he panic? No. Just calm. Just come and continue to move and pray, and God moved and all that. And guess what? His son, his grandson, serving God, just an awesome young man, and everybody that knew him would be very proud of him today.
Yeah.
But he kept, you know, that's what the enemy wanted to do, is to stop him dead track in the middle of a move of God, to have him start being fearful. And he didn't even go there.
Right.
He didn't even go there. And that's what the enemy's going to try to do to you. When you start stepping out and you're courageous, and he's going to try to terrify you and bring fears on you that causes you to turn your direction and stop what God's called you to do. And you got to be willing to let everything go to have God. And understand that just happens. And so the opposite of being terrified is to be joyful and happy. I got a question for you. Are you terrified or are you happy? And people that are terrified get angry with you when you're not terrified with them. Don't you understand? Be terrified. Like, why? Yeah, you know, I'm so far over my head in God right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the problem is you're swimming in the shallow. If you get out in the deep, it don't really matter at that point. You
That's
know,
right.
I don't know if we're 25 feet or we're 100 feet deep out here in this water, but you know what? My feet ain't touching, so I don't care. It's like, it's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And so, but people get upset with you when you're not terrified. Worry with me. Why? You worry enough.
Care is not that we perish.
Yeah, you're right. And what was Jesus doing?
He was sleeping
in the boat.
He sure was.
He said, you of little faith. It's time for us to have, but come on, this is what's going to happen. You want a third grade awakening. I don't know if you ever rode a horse. Remember, we rode horses together.
Sure did.
We got thank God we can do it in cars. I can imagine.
Oh my goodness.
Let's not go there. We are distracted from the pain of riding horses up mountains. Anyway. But being happy. And he tells us in Romans 14, 17 through 19 that the joy, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of mere words, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Righteousness, right standing with God, right? Romans chapter 5, where he tells us, 5 verses 15 through 17, the gift of righteousness that we receive from him. So we go, okay, I'm righteous because I receive it through faith by God, what Jesus did on the cross. And I can be joyful because of this great thing that Jesus did. And I don't have to worry because even if you take my life in this life, you cannot take my soul, which will be in my spirit, that will be with God forever, instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Promote me, brother. You know what I'm saying? Promote me. I'm here only for Jesus. You know, this is my momentary suffering and what I'm going through. It's just for Jesus. And it's really, my heart breaks for you if you're living for this life, especially what's coming in the near season, because your life's not going to be pleasing if you're living for your flesh.
That's right.
But if you're thinking, man, I just count it all pure joy that I was able to suffer for the cause of Christ. Think about that. You know, they were put in prison, and then Paul's going, you know, I was just so, oh, we're just, I couldn't, I, they beat us because of Jesus. I'm like, oh, dear God. That's so cool for Paul. You know, it's like, Pat would be like, they made me drink water, warm water for Jesus, unflavored, not fruity water. Man, that water is powerful. You drink that water, you're expecting something unfruity. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know that China, John, is praying in reports. I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now, and the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility. I was in a meeting, I guess, or something, and so I was going to go to the restroom. You're not going to believe this. I go to the restroom, but I was in my zone. What's that?
We might believe this.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm in that zone, right? In the zone. And just kind of, you know, knocking that out and getting back. And at that time, there was things going on that they were talking about, you know, integrating the sexes, and there's no difference between men and women, and we're all all the stuff was going on, and I didn't even look at the door, you know what I'm saying? And I opened up the bathroom door, and I thought, my goodness, now they've taken away all the things that we know they're in men's bathrooms, right? And it was like a whole bunch of rooms or something. You know, I'm like, I just couldn't believe. I'm like, my goodness. I was just so distraught. I'm thinking, they've even changed our bathrooms. And so obviously I had to go into a closet, and I'm in a closet. And next thing you know, I hear this voice.
You hear what?
I hear this lady's voice. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm trapped. I'm in this closet. Oh my goodness. What do I do? Dear God, I need a word. You know, because you can't, you're like little rooms and stuff. By the way, you don't know this. There's little rooms in there. And you're like in your own little room, and it's like, what do I do? And of course, it's Cracker Barrel, 10 trillion people. And this is obviously sometime back, because I read your doors now. I don't care what's going on. I even rubbed the Braille. Okay, yeah, that's the men's. And so I waited for silence. And I booked it out of that puppy and came in there and just went totally, just tried to block it out of my mind. And by God's grace, CNN wasn't outside the door. Explain this. I can't tell. I have no idea. And, of course, all the people around me go, it can happen. It can happen.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. So the kingdom of God is not about mere words, but of righteousness, peace, and joy. So the opposite of terror is joy and happiness. Be happy. And there's a song that was, a song that says, be happy, don't worry.
Don't worry, be happy.
That's what we used to play at those three committees. Don't worry, be happy. Don't think it's all falling apart. Just be happy. We play that song over and over again. And it happened just like God said it would happen.
Yeah.
And that we have the peace that passes all understanding because Jesus is our peace. So we can keep peace in the midst of no matter what it is, what's going on. We can keep the peace. Somebody says, there are giants in the land. Well, if the giant takes you out and you're a believer, you're going to be instantly with God. And what an awesome thing that you stood up for the people of God, for God, and you became a martyr for God. And now we're not promoting martyrism here. You can, it just happens. There's martyrs around the world right now. Mm-hmm. That all of a sudden, you're just, I can imagine, there's a throne waiting for you in heaven right now just for the martyrs. I remember that another vision that Rick Joyner had gotten from the Lord was there's certain thrones in heaven that are sitting there just for martyrs.
Oh, wow.
They're going to be sitting on in this particular room full of these different thrones. And they're empty, by the way. These particular ones were empty. Oh, gee. And so, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah 8:10. Listen, if we're going to be strong in our faith, we have to be joyful. We're going to have to be joyful. We have to enjoy this thing, which means sometimes get your rest. You know, pause for a moment. If you can actually, you can wear yourself out to the point that it's not that you wouldn't be joyful. You're just too tired to be anything. And it's not going to be good. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow. And it's like, that means I'll be fruitful tomorrow.
That's right.
Right? Sometimes you get just at the end of yourself. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes others at the end of themselves. And there them two shall meet. So you don't let the word of God, he tells us, depart from our mouth. I'm talking about the key to prosperity and success. And I don't have a lot of time to tell you this. And you'll be able to catch this full talk of what a conversation that I'm having on VFN TV soon. But, you know, don't let the word of God depart from your mouth. That's part of being successful. You're going to have to speak and know the word of God, which if you're abiding with God, it just happens naturally. We see people that are there. I mean, we come together in gatherings that people that are abiding with God, and it's just constant word flying out of everybody's mouth, coming from their heart. And it's not, I mean, it just doesn't stop. It doesn't matter. The whole time we're together or talking, messaging, whatever it is, it's just about what God's saying, mm-hmm. which is the key to success, by the way, in prosperity. It's not enough to meditate on his word and to be strong in your faith and courageous in your actions with a joyful heart. You have to continually be speaking his word. That's what that means in your mouth. I mean, we're told over and over again, like in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24, he says, if you speak and don't doubt and believe in your heart, then it will come to pass. If you say. Well, the reason why things might not be happening in your life is because you're meditating on God's word, but it's never coming out your mouth. And if you're not speaking, the devil is. Mm-hmm. We speak things into existence. God said, let there be, and then it became. God said, let there be, and it became. You said nothing, and nothing has become. Or maybe you said the opposite of what you wanted. Yeah, she'll never amount to anything. He'll never amount to anything. This will never work. I never win anything. I'll never get a raise. And look at that. Bam. It's happening. It's amazing how faith works, isn't it?
Yeah.
You so believe that you would never be successful, it has come to pass. You've never been successful. Congratulations. You are a man and woman of faith. You should have believed for something else. So we have to say it, which means speak it. Don't doubt, which is faith in our heart. Having a clear vision is so important in your heart. You have to actually know what you're believing in. You can't lock into anything if you don't have a clear vision. You got to see it in your heart. We cannot have confidence, and that's what faith is, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see, in your heart. If your heart can't see or visualize what you're having faith for. In other words, if your heart doubts, you'll never see it. But an example of seeing it is if you're believing for God to be healed, see yourself healed. Just see yourself healed. If you're believing God for you to be able to walk, see yourself walking. If you're believing God to be debt-free, see yourself debt-free. Think about it. Just what is it like to be debt-free? Begin to visualize what it's like to be debt-free. If you are believing you are to be part of serving, for example, at the VFN Dream Center, think about it. At the Vine Fellowship Network Dream Center, see yourself serving there. See it happening, taking place. If you are believing for a good paying job, you have to see yourself applying for it. You have to see yourself interviewing for it, and you have to see yourself working there in your heart. Then you begin to speak it out. Many people want me. I have a lot of great skills that God has taught me, and I'm a learner. I'm a teacher. You know, I can learn and I can teach. God promotes. I'm telling you, we see this every day, don't we? See this on a daily basis. We're just talking to somebody just recently, just got one yesterday. But by not letting God's word depart from our mouth, you are continually speaking faith over all things and sharing from your abiding experiences with him. This is the key to success. This is the key to prosperity. And you understand, you know, what is the definition of prosper? Be prosperous means having or characterized by financial success or good fortune or flourishing. And that's what God would define success, flourishing. No matter, I learn to abase and I learn to abound. No matter what I have plenty or I have lack, I'm always flourishing in God. Mm-hmm. It's not the measure of things, but it's the measure of how you flourish in the things that you have. If that makes sense. And success is defined as the favorable or prosperous termination of an attempt or endeavor. In other words, it's already been accomplished. That's success. So if you're believing for that good paying job and it happened, then that is success in that particular incident. If you're going to win the Super Bowl, you know, in the NFL, and success would be winning the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I believe the Saints did once. So understanding that he tells us, and go back and reading in Joshua, the secret to success and prosperity, you got to catch the full part of this on VFN TV. It'll be coming soon. You go to VFNTV.com and you'll have it there for you, also on your app. But this is the key to success and prosperity. It's found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. He says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws the servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to obey, to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful."
AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair, all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spa. If you're looking to make some additions to your home, consider today visiting Joyce at Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spas, and they ship nationwide. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Oh my goodness, Auntie's. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north, and let your nose lead you the way. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.